taking some of my time. It's good to see you. It's good to be with you. Has anybody ever asked you, who are you? Who are you people? What do you do here? What do you say? So I'm talking to you about this is who we are. Peter said in 1 Peter 3:15, be ready to answer. Colossians 4:6, let your speech be seasoned with salt that you may know how to answer. We need to learn how to answer people when they ask, who are you? What do you people do around here? These neighbors, if they were to ask you that, what are you going to tell them? Let me help you with that. First, we're Christians. Three times in the Old Testament, the Lord prophesied about the name. In Isaiah 56:5, even unto them will I give in mine house and within my walls a place and a name better than sons or daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. In 62:2, the same book, Isaiah, he had this to say, and the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory. Thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. One more. 65:15. And ye shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen, and the Lord God shall slay thee and call his servants by another name. Three times in the Old Testament, the Lord prophesied about that name. Three times in the New Testament, he revealed the name. We heard one of them read already. By the way, you did a good job reading. And the disciples were called what? Christians. First of Daniel. That word call has reference back to Isaiah 62:2 when the prophet said God would call them by name. God did the name. In Acts 26:28, when Paul preached to Agrippa, you know what, remember what Agrippa said? Almost what? Thou persuadest me to be a Mormon. Know what he said? That's all he said. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. That's what the prophet said in Isaiah. And 1 Peter 4:16. If any man suffers a Christian. I want you to learn real quickly from that. He's not talking about a church. The church is never called a Christian church. If a man, as an individual, suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but glorify God in this name or this behalf. Who are you people that meet in this building? What do you tell them? We're Christians. Secondly, we're members of the Church of Christ. Don't be ashamed of that. Some churches are ashamed of it and taking the sign down. Maybe saints meet here, Christians meet here, or First Street Church, whatever. What's the matter with people? The Bible calls the Church of Christ. Amen. In Romans 16:16, Paul said, the churches of Christ shall live you. In Acts 20:28, Paul affirms to the Ephesian elders that Jesus purchased the church with his own blood. The church belongs to Christ. That's what it's called. The Church of Christ. When people ask you, who are you? We are members of the Church of Christ. Don't be ashamed to say that. Next, we're saints. Saints! Did you know you people are saints? Maybe you don't act like it sometimes. Maybe we get that way sometimes, all of us. But that's who we are. Somebody said, I didn't know you guys were perfect. I didn't say we were. The word saint just means to be sanctified. It comes from that word. John 17, he talks about sanctify them through thy word. the Christians at Corinth were sanctified people. They're called saints. 1 Corinthians 1:1-2. And they were far from being perfect. They were a troubled church from the get-go. They had a lot of problems with them. And Romans 1:7, he called them saints. Who are these people? Who are you? The saints. Now, in some religious bodies, you have to be dead 50 years to be called a saint. They did make an exception recently of a pope who had not been dead that long for some reason, but normally had to be dead 50 years to become a saint. I wonder why it's so long. Maybe it's so people forget how bad you've been. Maybe that'd be the reason. Who are these people meets in this building? Saints, right? Don't be afraid to think of that. Next. What's my topic? This is who we are. We are children of God. In Galatians 3:26, he said, we're the children of God by faith in Christ. Remember that one? Children of God. Can you think of a better honor, a better relationship to be in than to be a child of God? God the Father, Jesus Christ as the elder brother, and all of us are brethren. Isn't that wonderful? We're God's children. Act like it. Next. We are citizens of the kingdom of God. Somebody said, I didn't know the kingdom's been set up yet. Well, it has. In Ephesians 2:19, now therefore we're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, as that word saying again, and of the household of God. When you think of a citizen, you think of a kingdom. When you think of a kingdom, you think of a king. That's what you read in the book of Revelation 17:14, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. We're citizens. We're not foreigners. We're not aliens, as the Ephesians were at one time before they obeyed the gospel. Who are you people? What do you tell them? This is what you tell them. We're citizens of the kingdom of God. That's not all. Who are you people? The meeting in this building. These neighbors around here. Who are you? What do y'all do around here? We are part of God's family. There's a song in the book. Where do you go? Number 643. Y'all lead that song here? Where the song lead? Y'all lead that? God's family. 643. See, let's see one verse. Here, quick. 6:43.
We're part of the family. There's been more. Jesus has saved us.
Isn't that a great song? That's who we are. We are part of God's family. Do you know of a better family to be in? By the way, let me ask you a question. Are you in that family? Have you done what the Bible tells you to do to get in that family? We'll learn before this is over today. Who are we? We are a spiritual house. We're lively stones. And we are a holy priesthood. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. You get those words? Lively stones, not dead stones. A spiritual house. The church is spiritual. This building is not the church, you know that. It's a physical building. But the Lord's people make up a spiritual house. It's a holy priesthood. Holy. What for? To offer up what kind of sacrifices? Spiritual sacrifices. And you need to be familiar with that word spiritual sacrifices. There are many of them. Acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. That's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Wow! What a compliment the Lord gave His people. By the way, that makes a good sermon. Compliments God gave His people. There's your sermon idea. We throw that in for free. 1 Peter 2, 9. Who are we? Who are these people around here? We are a chosen generation. You know that God chose you? Oh, not just before you were born. He didn't choose to be lost or saved, but in a way, God chooses people by putting out His plan. When you obey the plan, you become part of it. You're royal. You know you're among royalty today? You don't have to go to London, England, to become among royalty. We're among royalty today. Royal priesthood. Holy nation. And a peculiar people. Now watch that word peculiar. It doesn't mean what a lot of people think. It doesn't mean you have to ride in a horse and buggy. It means you're different from the world. Separate. Apart. That we should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Verse 10. 1 Peter 2:10 now. Who are we? We are the people of God, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Did you know that's who we are? The people of God. God's people. Are you aware of the fact that God has always had His people? That's who we are today. Don't sell yourself short in thinking that you're not. The people of God Almighty. 1 Peter 2:11 now. Who are we? We're strangers and pilgrims to this world. 1 Peter 2:11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. What does that mean? We're just passing through this world. Then he urges us to abstain from fleshly lusts that war against us. Strangers and pilgrims. 1 Peter 2:13. Who are you? Who are these people around here? We are a submissive people. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king and supreme, and the governors, as unto them which are sent by him, for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do it. Who are we? We are a people who have been submissive, who've submitted our lives to God. 1 Peter 2:13. In Ephesians 5, 21 to 24, it talks about submission. How that we submit ourselves to the head, Christ, and husbands and wives' submission, those kinds of things. Who are these people? Ephesians 5, 21 to 24. We are a submissive people. One more part and the sermon's yours. Who are those people? Who are they? We are an obedient people. In Romans 10, 16, the apostle writing to the Romans said, not all have obeyed the gospel. The Hebrew writer penned in Hebrews 5, 9 that Jesus is the author of eternal salvation to everybody, to those that obey him. Who are we? We are people who are obedient. We better be. If you're disordered today, never obey the gospel. You've heard it. Faith comes by hearing, Romans 10, 17. Gotta believe it. Gotta repent of your sins, or perish, Luke 2, 11. God commands all men everywhere to repent, Acts 17, 30. Pentecost, repent. We must make that good confession that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, like the eunuch did in Acts 8, 37, when he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Have you made that confession, by the way? You can do it today. Just a moment. And then our Lord said, he that believeth, you know the rest of that, I hope, and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be condemned. Mark 16, 16. When you do that, the Lord forgives all past sins. No future sins, just past ones. Add you to his body in the church, Acts 2, 47. Then it's up to you as to what kind of people you are, like I've talked about today. To be faithful and steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Maybe you've obeyed the gospel in the past, you've become a Christian, member of the church, but you got a little careless in your living. You got doing some things you know you shouldn't have been doing. And you want to straighten all that out. You can do that today, right now, in a minute. By repenting of those sins for which you're guilty, confess them to God and pray for forgiveness, like Simon did in Acts 8, 13 to 22. And John reported in 1 John 1, 9, if we confess our sins, he's just to forgive us. Somebody said, if, that, no. Just as I am, would you come home and see?